Sometimes, especially like because of the church year, that is, the lessons that are read Sunday after Sunday and how they flow through Jesus' life, we don't always connect the dots from one text to another. In Matthew chapter 3, for example, did you know that this is only the second time that the name Jesus shows up? You would think because of all the announcement of his birth and all the angels and all the heavenly hosts and everything else that goes on, that the name Jesus would show up again and again and again. But this is only the second time. And in Matthew's gospel, I began to wonder why. Why wouldn't it have been used earlier? You see, Matthew was given this word of God so that he could pin it down, that is, write it down, and the word would go out to the Hebrews. And as God gave him these words, he wants this news, this story, this account of Jesus and his birth and all that it means to unfold in a way that the Hebrews would comprehend it. John the Baptist was prophesied in the Old Testament, and those who were Jewish knew about the one who would precede or come before Jesus. And it talks about in the prophet, how there'll be one in the wilderness, saying, prepare the way of the Lord, and you would have all of that. And so it makes sense as Matthew's gospel unfolds that you have John the Baptist out in the wilderness proclaiming and calling people to repentance. And there he is baptizing people. Jesus comes out to him. In one gospel narrative, we know that John says of Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John knows who this one is. But because everything hasn't unfolded yet, just like for the 12 disciples, they didn't understand and put all the pieces of the puzzle together so that they perfectly knew all the plan of God that involved the one named Jesus, whose name means he will save his people. Think about it. You and I know the story. We've heard it so many times, and the older we are, the more times we've heard it. The more we've been in church, that increases the number of times we've heard it. We know Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, the one who lived and died and rose for us. But John has not heard the complete story. And so when Jesus, the Lamb of God that comes, when Jesus, the Holy One, excuse me, when Jesus comes, the Messiah, John thinks the roles should be reversed. The Holy One should baptize the sinner. And Jesus turns it into an us. Allow us. Us. It is fitting. That means proper, right, most appropriate. It is fitting that we together should fulfill all righteousness. And in Matthew's gospel, that phrase is throughout scriptures. It always points to God's plan of salvation, the righteousness of God. Sometimes we kind of limit it, I think I have in the past, limited it to being God's righteousness and holiness and his justice. And then, of course, I stand over here in contrast to that because I'm the sinner and the idiot and wicked. But God sends Jesus to be his righteousness. And he sends Jesus to be his righteousness in our place. And he sends Jesus to fulfill that righteousness. And John becomes part of that by baptizing Christ, not that Christ is sinner, but Christ is the one who is innocent, who takes on sin, who is the sin bearer. Or as the Bible says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. And so the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ is a message right at the start of his public ministry, of his name. The name that is above all names. The name of the one who will save his people. Excuse me. And so in the text, how do we learn this far after the fact? How do we learn? How do we grasp all that this means? And there are three things that happens that point to this. And you probably recognize what those three would be. Because you have the heavens open up, the Spirit descends like a dove, and the Father speaks. The heavens opening up reminds the people that this plan is from God. That God is revealing his plan of salvation. The Holy Spirit coming down reminds us that Jesus is of God and is God and anointed. Because that's what the name Christ, the title Christ means, anointed one. And the Father speaking, how grand that is. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. For you and I, we often think about, as we read Jesus' baptism, our own baptism, and that's a good thing. But what happens is we now switch from what God is doing to what we do. Have you ever noticed that? You know, people want to be baptized sometimes three or four times in their life. You know, they got away from God. They backsliding is maybe a description that you've heard. And now they want to come back and they want to reconnect with God. And it becomes something they do. Or some people, and I've known this in my own years of ministry, and that is they refuse to be baptized until they're old enough where they can make that decision. And again, it becomes something we do. And for many of us, my life is, my parents were part of the Lutheran Church when I was born, and they knew that baptism saves, so they had me baptized. And so I was given the gift of eternal life as an infant. And my own flesh didn't have a role in that except being there. And I didn't have a choice on that one either. They just took me to church. And they kept taking me to church. So what happens at confirmation for Lutherans is we again recognize not that we made a choice, but that God made a choice. And we confess that Christ has redeemed us. We confess the righteousness of God, God's plan of salvation. Baptism, as in Christ, it's about what God is doing, not what man is doing. It's about what God's plan is. And here's our problem. Our flesh likes to be asked. Our flesh likes to decide. Our flesh likes to look at menus and have options. Even if you go to the same restaurant and you have the same thing every time, you know, and you never try anything else, you still want the freedom to choose. And what God has done in the baptism of Christ is reminded us that it's not about our choosing, it's about God calling us. God choosing us to be his holy people, to be his own. To be his sons and daughters. He is calling us into this life in Christ and connecting us. He's uniting us with Jesus in his death and in his resurrection so that our sins are paid for and our new life is established. He is calling you and I so that all righteousness, which includes Jesus' birth, Jesus' life, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, his reigning in heaven, and when he returns, the day of judgment. The righteousness of God incorporates the last day and on for all eternity, where God's people are together before him. It's such a simple, short lesson, isn't it? Verses 13 through 17. But there's more in there than we often ever read in our head. Well, Jesus was baptized, next part, you know, and we kind of move on. But today we are reminded that God declares his choice. His choice was to send his son. His choice is the son died for you. And his choice, you live because of him. Any other option is death. So what would you rather have? God tell you, or you choose? And I'll take God telling me, because I don't like the other options. And so God calls us his own, that we may have life. Amen.